Due to legal reasons, James Price will not be appearing on this episode of the Rawcast.
Welcome to the Rawcast. This season 10, episode 17 of the Rawcast season. My name is Dave Stewart. We are not joined by Pricey today. He has to cough and is still recovering. So all our best to you, our fearless leader, sir. But I am joined by two of the fairest and brightest minds. Oh, no, we don't have those guys. We've got Ben and Nate. Okay, Ben and Nate, how are you guys going?
Oh, yeah, going all right. How about you?
Fantastic, mate. Fantastic. I just wanted to, you know, introduce you guys in the way that's befitting the two fine gentlemen I have here. But again, like I said, they weren't here, so I thought I'd just give you guys that one.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it.
I'm doing swell. I've had decoff, but I have successfully recovered. Well,
congratulations,
voice is successfully
good,
recovered. Rest in peace, Pricey's voice.
Yeah. The spicy cough.
R.I.P.
Yes, the spicy cough. I do not recommend the spicy cough. It is not a worthwhile pursuit.
Not spicy like a good curry or something like that, but it's just spicy like.
I do recommend the lovely folk at the Mater Hospital who would call you and look after you and check up on you, but yeah, don't recommend spicy.
If anyone's been wondering, we have obviously been off for a few weeks or a couple of weeks now, primarily because of that. Obviously, it has made scheduling time for us to all to get together a bit tricky. At the same time, we've also had kind of three matches in a week, which doesn't help in terms of getting things out there. So let's get started on these matches. We have three of them, and to be honest, we could probably knock them all over in one quick sentence or two, because there didn't not much really happen in all of them. Western Sydney Wanderers won. Jack Hingott with an own goal in the 41st minute. Brisbane Roar won. Jay O'Shea with a second minute of injury time penalty. Kings to Tomislav Masella in the 21st minute. Tommy Aldridge in the 28th. Again in the 69th minute, which led to his red card in the 69th minute. Malgush, the 90th minute. Now, I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of this because I was actually out at the time, but I understand, Ben, you are... also, I should mention there's 5,233 Hardy goals. I'll watch that and relive the Vich moment. Ben, you had a chance to review this game pretty thoroughly. What was your analysis of this fine point away from home?
Yeah, well, jeez, we looked dog shit. just you know, to put it flatly, like we, you know, as has been the story of our season, basically looked like we were going to create nothing. We ended up creating nothing. Looked, you know. Yeah, pretty dire, but you know, we'd held out and you know, things were going, you know, reasonably well, because I mean, Wanderers are much in the same boat. They don't have much up top either. And yeah, it was really just a good ball in from our old boy that put the cat amongst the pigeons and led to Jack's own goal. And, yeah, other than that, they didn't create anything, and we certainly didn't. And, yeah, then the absolute fucking scenes at the end.
You'd be talking about the scenes, which was Lord of the Dance combined with rugby league tackling.
It was we'll cover
that in
a second.
Moment. Let's quickly just touch on goal, because you're right, it's important to note here, the ball into the box was actually pretty fizzing. It was a pretty decent ball in for Western Sydney to create the opportunity. I think it was a Beanie that was running onto it, but completely flashed and missed it. Jack Hingett was just no time to react. But yeah, if you got to give any sort of credit, it's got to be at the ball across the box, which was just really, that's exactly the sort of cross you put in those sorts of danger areas, because right between the keeper, right between the defender, and makes something happen. Doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent, it makes something happen.
That's right, and, you know, that's what Petrados does.
Was it Petrados that put it in?
Yeah, it was.
I lost track. It's been a little while. Yeah. Yeah, right, I'm just looking at it now. It was...
Good old Petrados. But yeah, like, it was definitely really about the only moment of quality from the match, and a game, and a, you know, goal came from it. So, you know, own goal or not, it was a chance, a very good chance created, and even though Obini didn't quite get to it, it was in such a fiendish position and speed and all of that, that Hingett doing what he should do, which is try and lay a challenge on Obini so that he can't, meant that he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, yeah, surprised it wasn't Kai Truan.
It's just true. I mean, Kai Truan and Scott Neville have been working together pretty hard to pick up that golden boot for the own goal award. Scott Neville undoing his good juice by scoring goals at the other end, as we'll get onto a bit later on. Fair to say, though, that, Nate, that, you know, Petrados obviously getting in behind the defence in the first place. Okay, not right in front of goal, but in a good spot to put the cross in. Probably should have been, had a closer eye kept on him, given his threat.
Oh, look, 100%. And, you know...
Hey, is your name Nate?
We seem to do this every time.
I was looking for Nate's insight here.
How
do you do this, Pricey? How do you keep control of this shit?
You're two bearded men, right? But I know that wasn't your fault, right? No, I did think we were a little bit asleep at the wheel, a tiny bit, with that goal. To be honest, it was mostly Wanderers perfectly placed and time passing, but I did think they were asleep at the wheel just a tiny bit, but I wouldn't say it was all their fault. It was good play. It was the only good play probably in the entire game, really.
Well, I'm just having a flick through the highlights as we're chatting as well, and I did just realise, obviously, we had a goal counted out as well, due to offside. Parsons was definitely offside, but the ball into Parsons, or the play to get Parsons in into the mix there, he really kind of came on and had a pretty reasonable game in this, would you say, Ben?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, kind of another big question mark as to kind of why he's been languishing on the bench or not in the squad for much of the season. You know, it was a well-taken finish. Obviously, he was well, you know, very comfortably offside. No hint of it being an error in any way. The other thing I did just want to touch on as well, because obviously it's the only other thing notable that happened in this match, was that I thought that Tommy Aldred's red card was perfectly justified. I thought the first yellow was... I can't remember it now. It was, you know, a long time ago.
But it's bizarre.
But I was just like, oh, yeah, that's a very standard, you know, strong challenge booking, you know, like... you know, the sort of thing that you have to do as a centre-back sometimes. And then once he was on the yellow card, the card that he actually got his second yellow for, I thought was a bit ill-disciplined, like, you know, didn't really need to make the challenge. So, yeah, just a bit sloppy from Tom, but, you know, that's kind of been our...
I suppose it's a split-second decision he has to make. It's like, do you pull him back, stop the attack, and potentially prevent Western Sydney going 2-0 up and killing the game? Or do you take the hit, keep yourself in the game, but know that the team now has to do a pretty solid job defensively, and then try and find something on the break, given that you're still behind? It's it really depends on what your thought process is right in that split second, and you only got a split second to decide. Maybe you thought, you know what, these guys have been dealing without me for so long all year. what's another 20 minutes and just did it. So who knows? You mentioned about the only other notable point in the match, and let's get on to the probably the most notable point in the match, where Daniel Margush started, you know what, anything Jan Jadovic can do with his feet on the near the goal line, I can do better. He didn't concede a corner, in fairness to him. He did keep the ball in play. He can't dance, let's face it, because he hasn't got any sort of foot movement.
He cannot.
What was your thoughts, Nate? I want to get your honest opinion, your raw opinion for when you saw this the first time.
Well, I mentioned it earlier. Honestly, I think it was literally a dead set combination of Lord of the Dance combined with a rugby league tackle. Just fucking marvelous in terms of a brain explosion that's worked in our favour. Gave us luckily a goal out of the game and a chance. But it was definitely a bit of peak A-League, which we probably needed at that point, I'd say. Definitely.
And given it happened at Parramatta, do you reckon he's going to be playing for the Eels on the weekend?
There's probably a couple of 40-20s in there somewhere. That's you think of all the things in the A-League that have happened previously around goalkeeping blunders, and
it's right up there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ben, what were your thoughts? What was your initial reaction? I mean, credit to Parsons who put the effort in to chase it down in the first place. It's easy enough to let that ones just kind of go.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, he was there putting the pressure on, and you know, in the 93rd minute with 10 men pretty much chasing a lost cause. And you know, they just cut away to, you know, a sad-looking Warren Moon as the, you know, on the coverage as the, you know, as he was shutting him down, and they had to quickly cut away from sad-looking Warren Moon because Margaret decided to, you know, have his little dance, then do a nice little tackle, and the funniest thing about it all was Margush's expression on his face. Like, because it in the coverage live, they cut away to Warren Moon, quickly cut back, showed the incident, then just zeroed in on Margush's face. And just when he kind of went, "What the fuck have I done?" and just looked almost amused and then all like horrified in equal measure, was just the funniest expression on his face. Just look up the replay, you'll know what I mean. It just concentrate on his face, you'll not be disappointed.
I like the part straight after the tackle where he's looked up, he's laying face first on the ground, and he's got his head in his in his hands. It's just the best. It's like, I'm proper fucked up here. I am done.
Like, this is going to be going around the world on fucking, like, blooper reels.
And he knows.
Like, And so it did. It's a proper, like, you know, I always just think, whenever somebody says peak A-League, I'm just like, would this have been at home at the Central Coast Perth game a few years ago with the fucking gun and the, you know, the fireworks and the, like, you know, the goalposts having to be replaced and all that sort of shit going on? And I think this would have, so I think it sort of fits. Like, you know, 100%. People tuck around peak A-League, but I think this was very, you know,
it's one of the better moments. The fact that people still remember the Jan Jadovic moment from a few years ago now, and that's I think's gone like viral a few times. Like, it pops up on all those sorts of overseas footy banter sort of Twitter pages and all sorts of shit like that. Constantly using the A-League memes footage of it, so, and they would have, I think their bandwidth is all fucked from that particular one clip, but It's a very similar moment. It's right up there. It's been compared with that Janjetovic moment multiple times, as per obviously my initial expression of it. But yeah, it's it won't be forgotten in a hurry, that particular moment.
No, and in a very, very, very forgettable season, it was a rare moment of joy that actually had a tangible impact on the result of a game as well. Like, it wasn't just, the fourth goal in a 4-0. It was a, goal that cost them a point and gained us one. So, it was just brilliant.
Before we move on to the next game, but a very, I suppose, controversial take in regards to this one that I just want to quickly kind of bring up. So,
the following portion of analysis has been redacted on legal advice.
That's why I think he should never have been wearing pants in the first place. Anyway, we'll get on to the next game. Melbourne Victory 0, Brisbane Roar 0. This is the most boring game. But let's start off with the bookings. Bookings to Nick Olsen. Unfortunately, this episode of Q80 Facts has been redacted for legal purposes. In the 32nd minute for Nick Olsen, Raimon Marchand-Vidal in the 44th minute for Victory, Lee Broxham in the 83rd minute for Victory, and Jordan Holmes in the 87th minute. In front of 6,127 very bored people. Nothing happened in this game. Nothing. Not a thing. There's three minutes of highlights, and I'm pretty sure it's all just, crowd shots. What do you reckon?
No, well, as far as, my thoughts on it are...
Redacted. R-E-D-A-C-T-E-D. Redacted.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You gotta be careful saying that sort of stuff, mate. Anyway, but what do you think, Nate? Were you impressed by the defensive acumen of our side, given that we were expected to lose this game pretty heavily?
More impressed right now. You nearly called me fucking pricey.
I think you're pricey.
I heard you nearly say that. You nearly did.
I would have redacted it if that was the case.
Of course you would.
What was your thought on this game?
Not much, really. two things. One, we didn't lose in Melbourne. Yay. Two, the Seagulls had more of my attention in the highlights I was watching.
It was really not shit.
Only one thing I was able to note happened, and that Scott Neville at the end of the first half a decent curling effort to try and sneak a goal in for us. Apart from that,
there was a decent effort there.
Apart from that, you were better off watching paint dry.
The general analysis from this game, when I saw from Twitter from some Victory fans, was pretty much that they'd just come off playing or beating City big time in the derby. And they had nothing left in the tank. We parked the bus. Nothing else left in them to work our way out. And we did enough to not concede a goal. They did enough to not score a goal. And that was effectively the run of the game.
Which when you consider, the fact that they still played fucking, Fellaini, Rojas, Economidis, Broxham. All of those guys. They still had definitely enough talent on the park, really, to play us off the park if they were anything near full fit and firing. You know, it was very obvious that they were very flat-footed, so.
Yeah, it's it wasn't really the most enjoyable game to take in. But like, look, if you look at our history overall, a point away, like you said, Nate, a point away in Melbourne is a rare treat. In terms of, I suppose, this being the second of three away games on the road in the space of about a week, this is you'd say good 2 points out of two games.
It was definitely a good points that we received. Sorry, I was boring myself just thinking about the game. That's how boring this game actually was.
Sorry to put you to sleep talking about the game to put everyone to sleep. do you want to call that game where it is? That was a pretty cool game.
The only other thing I'll say about the game is it was nice to see that Parsons also got some more game time in that game. For sure. Hopefully that will continue. But let's draw that line in the sand. get that bus out of being parked.
Yeah, put it into first gear, and we'll get ourselves up to Campbelltown Stadium. See, that's a segue, ladies and gentlemen. Get ourselves up to Campbell Stadium for the loss to MacArthur. MacArthur 2, Ulysses Davila in the 44th minute, Jake McGing celebrating against his old club, in the 89th minute. Before, obviously, prior to that, Brisbane Roar had scored the equaliser with Scott Neville in the 78th minute. bookings to Jay O'Shea in the 83rd, Tommy Aldred in the 92nd minute. From suspension, straight back into the book. Good on you, Tommy. Of 2,809 people all shaking their cowbells and having a good old time there. This game was a huge difference, like massively different in terms of, I suppose, how we came out and took on this game. We were the dominant side, I thought. We had nothing in the front third. We didn't have a finishing touch, Ben.
Yeah, no, that's... You know, once again, the story of our season. Like, you know, we've certainly in this game, we were looking real sharp. Like, right up until that point, though, like, we were creating chances on the regular. We were, you know, the midfield and front third looked like they were actually starting to link. You know, wow, fancy that. You know, there was just, you know, it was just solid all round. Like, and also I don't think in that first half, other than what ended up happening, that Jordan Holmes had to make a save. I believe that they scored from their very first shot.
Yeah, I believe
you're
at right.
All,
yeah.
Like on or off target.
I think you're right. Even just looking at the highlights, the first highlight for them is their goal, 44th minute, and it's just like everything up before that was two or three shots from us. So, yeah, they really had nothing.
Yeah, I don't even think they had a cider. Like they had nothing at all. Like we were utterly, utterly dominant, and you know it was like just such a sucker punch. Just get. Scored on at that moment just before, you know, half time, and it was a game of sucker punches because I felt like the second half as well was largely, and I think, you know, I'll get to the reason why in a second, but you know, it was largely much the same. Like we were in the driver's seat. I think it wasn't quite as dominant as the first half. It was a little bit more even, but it was, you know, certainly we were making most of the running. We looked like the team that was more likely to win, even after going behind. I'm definitely, you know, definitely a bit disappointed. But, yeah, like the one thing for me, like the story of this game for me was Eli Adams.
Well, before we get onto that, I'll quickly just touch on one thing you said there, which was you thought that we were better in the first half than the second half. I disagree a little bit. I think it wasn't quite the same. It wasn't too dissimilar, but I think we offered more with Demi off the pitch, Vanovic and Eli Adams on it. Yep. Like Vanovic coming on for Demi at halftime, I think changed the dynamics of our attack to a positive. We were trying to do something that wasn't really working to try to play towards Demi's, but the rest of the team wasn't really set up to play to those strengths. Whereas I think when Ivanovic came on, we had a lot more running, we had a little bit more incisiveness, we had longer studs which kept him on his feet. It's one of those things that you know, Ivanovic is I think would be fair to say is a better striker than Demi. I mean, let's face it, he scored goals this year. I would start Ivanovic over Demi in that same position. You might shuffle in terms of who, you know, how you have that front line, whether you have a single man, two players coming off the side, or two front men, or whatever the case may be. But there was a massive difference in terms of how we played. We still dominated the half, dominated the game, but it's how we played, how we made that attack, which I thought was a very different proposition. I don't know if he's just brought on Ivanovic to catch legs, you know, tired legs, and he's better to run at them, and Demi's kind of the battering ram that gets them tired, but it wasn't working. Demi didn't offer enough of a threat, in my opinion.
It's such a controversial take, and I can't believe that you would be like so bold as to say that we should bring on a striker that scored goals for a striker that scored no goals. How dare you?
Want to hear another controversial take?
Yeah, I really do.
I think right after that second half started off, there was...
Unfortunately, this segment of the show has been redacted for legal purposes.
And in my opinion, he can't be doing that. It's, you know... Okay. What was your...
It's illegal.
What was... Absolutely illegal. Like, you get put to jail a few times. Nate, what are your thoughts?
Thinking back, I actually agree with you a bit there. It was definitely first half, we had way too many chances of possession. I think we're a little bit wasted. I kind of agree with you there. It did feel more like first half was wasted possession versus second half was possibly more wasted or unlucky chances. So I sort of agree with you a bit there. Just from what I've been able to notice, MacArthur's first goal from Davila, he was a little bit unmarked. He was left a little bit unmarked there, so it's not a surprise.
Lethal.
That one. But Eli Adams... Eli Adams definitely... it's just such a shame that bending shot that hit the bar he didn't score. That would have been an absolute belter beauty for the kids' confidence.
You started talking about Eli Adams beforehand. Elaborate. I cut you off beforehand, so fire away, mate. What were your thoughts on the young fella?
Yeah, no, I just think that he is an absolute bright spark. Like, whenever he's sort of gotten on the pitch this season, like, he's already trialled overseas. He's, you know, what, 19, 20? Like, he's a big lad, but he's got great technique. Like, I just think that he has gone places, and I just, you know, can't help but think he's going to be another one of these guys, like, you know, either like a Jamie McLaren that goes and does his best stuff elsewhere and they make the money on him, or that he just goes straight overseas like a Kwame Yeboah.
I was going to say, is he going to be more of a Brandon Barella or a Kwame Yeboah? That was just who I was thinking of comparing. Because Kwame went very early and didn't do much. Brandon stayed a bit and obviously built himself up, got some game time, went over, started building a career, got himself into Socceroos shout.
He's done well.
You know?
Yeah. So I don't know which way he's going to go, but, like, we really need to fucking just be like, okay, well, we're going to play this guy the rest of the season. Like, what the fuck else are we doing? Like, why are we playing Lescano at all?
It's true.
Like, it's true. Just fucking chuck the youngsters in. Well, like, justifies what the fuck wages, are, like,
I agree. I 100% agree.
Yeah, But, like, the rest of the season should just be about finding what we have for next season. I mean, really, it's probably about halfway through the season, to be honest. But, like, you know, now that it's officially done, there's absolutely no excuse. You know, just chuck them all, chuck all the youngsters in, single swim time. And Eli Adams is one of those guys that's definitely going to swim, like, you know, and he's already shown in a very small amount of game time that he will. So, yeah, just let him do it.
We'll obviously recover off, I suppose, what improvements we need to make it towards the end of the year as well, kind of whether players should stay, whether they should go, kind of what Warren or whoever his incumbent after that may be, should he remain. Not saying he's going to get sacked, but I also don't want to kind of take it off the table because we're second last, let's face it. But that game does send us or keep us in 11th place in the ladder. After 22 games, we've won... Sorry, yeah, mate, go ahead.
I was just going to mention as well.
I'm trying to wrap it up here, mate.
Did we think... No, but did just on their winning goal, would that have been a penalty if it wasn't a goal? Because...
Yeah.
Like... Yes, it, like in my opinion, it absolutely would have been a penalty if it wasn't a goal. But like, because yeah,
I can't remember not exactly what happened, but I remember thinking at the time it was either a penalty or a goal. So I'll say yeah. But yeah, so 22 games, 1-6, drawn 4, 12 losses. We've lost more than we've gotten any points out of, or games that we've had points out of. So good season. Goals for 25, goals again. 30 to play Melbourne Victory at the local newspaper stadium this Anzac Day. That is Monday, the 25th of April, at 2:05 p.m. kickoff. So obviously an early afternoon kickoff, as is the tradition when we have Anzac Day kickoffs. This, of course, was originally going to be Sydney FC at home. This would have been the last game of the season, but obviously with the mixed round of fixtures, we've ended up with Victory instead, and Sydney is still our last game of the season. But Melbourne Victory is who we play this time. They currently sit in third. 22 games played, 10 wins, 8 draws, 4 losses. See, that's, Warren, that's how you do it. You have more wins than you do losses. It's a good way to go about it. They've only scored 30 goals, only 5 more goals than us, but they've only conceded 21 goals as well. 38 points on the board. Their last game was a 2-1 win over Newcastle back on the 16th. And are due to play, we're recording this on the 21st, they are due to play tomorrow, Friday the 22nd, against MacArthur, the team we just lost to. Quick analysis, Nate, we'll start with you. What are your thoughts? Are we a chance in this game now that we're at home? We've taken a point from them away, or are we, do you get bent over and made to feel it?
I think we're a chance of a point, but I have a feeling we could get bent over. So, look, I'm gonna go with a draw. Hopefully it's a draw.
I won't get a tip yet. We'll get the tips later on. But yeah, Ben, what do you think? Is this, are we in trouble here?
Oh, look, I think that we're in trouble any time we come up against a team with any competent attacking lineup, and what we've learned from Victory this season is that
for the top six, righto.
Yeah, or that's not name, or that doesn't rhyme with Schmirth Schmory.
What about Schmeston Schmidney? what about the Blue Castle Wets? Good. Anything comes rhyming with
I do like Flu Castle Wets. I think that should just be their new name.
I like that. Okay. So you think
they are too good for us, and the fact that we got a point from them away was purely down to their circumstances, not to anything we did. So, like,
and look, in fairness as well, Victory have been on an incredible run of form as well. I think they're 12 games unbeaten, and our game happened to be a little blip in the last five. They've won the previous four of the previous five, and the previous game before that was a 1-1 draw. About 3 1-1 draws in a row. So they're in good form. The only loss they've had in that run is the ACL playoff against Vissel Kobe, where they lost an extra time thanks to Iniesta leading that side. So, yeah, they're a side that's in form, doing well, and it'd be silly to take them lightly in this case. They're too good a side for that.
Oh, no, 100%. And I also think that it's very funny that, you know, we go down there, you know, 1 week, draw nil all, and we're probably going to come up here and get like a, you know, 4-0 hiding. But
cop 3 goals or something like that. Incidentally, I just had a quick look. The team they lost to in the Champions League, Vissel Kobe, got drawn into a group where I think the one Chinese side that couldn't actually participate had to withdraw because their city was in lockdown, so they couldn't actually get out of their city. So they're in the one group where there's only three teams, and the teams they're playing off against, I believe there's a team from, I'll bring it up here. Here we go. There's Kitchi from Hong Kong and Shanghai United from Thailand. Imagine if Melbourne Victory was in that group. I reckon they'd be loving life in that group, to be honest. I reckon they'd do some damage. They're a bit unfortunate not to get through there, so they'll be pretty motivated to make the most of the games they've got in the meantime. In terms of championship ladder, obviously we have a few games since our last setup of this, but not much has changed. We're still sitting sixth, although it's gotten a bit tighter. Wellington's on 40 points, just ahead of us on 39. Perth on 38, although they haven't really moved a hell of a lot for the past 15 games. Newcastle on 35 points. Western Sydney on 32 with their most recent win in the league over Newcastle. So we're sitting in sixth. Probably not going to do a whole lot more than that, but I don't see Wellington dropping or getting less points than us in the run-in. So we'll see how that goes. Now, briefly, we mentioned obviously the game coming up on Anzac Day. Ahead of that game is a very important Legends game. You want to give us the details? Who are they playing in that Legends game? Who are the Legends playing?
Well, they are playing...
Go on.
Cops and...
Where the fuck is Nate gone?
Cops and Army, I believe. Yeah,
the Army and the Popo. Nate, are you even here still? You're logged in, but no one can hear you if you're talking.
Apparently not.
Man, I hope your voice track's still there, because this would be hilarious. Oh, there we go.
I'm here.
I can hear you now, Nate.
Can you hear me?
You're right, mate. So, yeah, I'll throw that question to you again, because Ben rudely interrupted. Who are they playing, mate?
Sorry, technology people. They are playing a...
Are you going to answer that question, or are you going to just keep blaming technology?
Yeah, playing technology. They're playing a combined Australian Defence and Queensland Police 11.
Excellent. Now, kick-off at 12:15 on Anzac Day. Nate, given...
Are you going to ask me for my thoughts about that 11?
I will ask you about the thoughts on that in just a second. I want Nate to give me some of the fine names that are in that 11 first, and get his thoughts first. Nate.
Some of the fine names that are in that side, we've got Jade North. We've got...
It's on the run sheet, mate. You can just read the run sheet.
All right, look, I'll read it. I'll just read out the sheet. We've got Ellen Beaumont, Jade North, Ben Griffin, Luke Devere as head coach, Danny Bowles, I believe also in a coaching capacity, Enrique, Matty Smith, Royce Brownlee, Dean Carlos Solozano, Matt Mackay, Michael Beard, Shane Stefanuto and Jonty Richter.
That's it, mate. Now, that's about 13 players. I think that's about all they'll probably go with at the Legends, which makes sense. You know, you don't want to have too many subs. You want everyone to get it, make sure they get a run. Ben, will you be heading out to local newspaper stadium for the early kickoff? As Enrique said, the big match before the main game.
I will not. No,
that's a shame.
No, I don't want to see a cops versus cops and army combined 11, and here's why.
Reducted. Chant anymore. It's just
because,
not politically,
you know, that's
correct.
Okay. All right.
I know we used to sing it back in the day, but you can't sing it anymore. Right? It's just, it doesn't work anymore. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. Fair enough.
All good, mate.
Yeah. Can't say it on the podcast either.
For legal reasons, mate. We can't. You know that. But that'll be good. Obviously, the Legends games there, it's always a good thing to have. It obviously, I think they have fundraising for Legacy as well, which is obviously excellent. So, out that way anyway. If you're heading into the game and you're able to get in early for this game kicking off at 12:15, get in there, find yourself a good spot, watch some of the old boys running around. And to be honest, it's nice to see some of the players, not just from sort of the glory years, but also going back a bit, Michael Baird, Rolls-Royce Brownlee. You know, there's some of our first season ones. Ben Griffin, where did he come from? Bloody hell, he's from before Ange's time as well. So, you know, there's some, and Alan Bowman as well, obviously from the Dub side. So, excellent to see that they've got a good selection of players from all throughout the years, not just some of the more well-known ones from the key times that we've, you know, the bigger times that we've had. So that's good to see. Now, of course, big news that's come out, I think just today, there's Football Australia has ratified the removal of a cap on transfer fees. Now, this is important to note, this is not for between A-League clubs, these transfer fees. I think this is predominantly to create a transfer market between NPL clubs. Nate, did you have any sort of extra info on this?
Not really. I was trying to the gist of the quite long-winded article about it all. I mean, might be a helpful good thing to see.
Pricey was quite good to kind of pick out a few key things there. Basically, that Football Australia's regulations effectively prohibited transfer fees domestically on top of the A-League and APL rules. So this effectively fixes that part of the problem. But from my understanding, it would also ensure that if NPL clubs actually put their players on professional terms, denying them to get a proper figure from basically, any club wishing to take the player, the A-Leagues will actually be forced to pay a transfer fee. It's not just a case of, here's your arbitrary $3,000 or $4,000 for having that player and maybe putting some money in to develop them. Here's a proper transfer fee that you guys have demanded and we've agreed to. So I think that's what it's designed to do. Also to help kind of bring in, I suppose, the finances maybe for clubs to be able to afford to do a second division, you know, develop players, boost their coffers with proper.
I was going to say that it kind of has that feeling of, right, this is preparing for what future will come with a second division in line. Yeah,
is this the right sort of pathway to take, do you think? Are we taking good forward steps here?
Yeah, no, I think it's just, you know, little moves to formalize what will, and I mean has to be, you know, domestic transfer policy being completely overhauled, because I mean it's just been a joke for as long as the A-League's been a thing that, you know, essentially that, you know, they can just cherry pick the best talent, not have to pay for it except for the, you know, development fees, you know, which are nominal, you know, actually having that be a proper open market and having, you know, our best youth development clubs actually rewarded for that is going to, you know, get them back to doing what they do best, which is investing in that young talent and developing it properly. And, you know, you're going to see your richer NPL clubs probably focus on that a little bit more now that there's actually incentive to do so. And, you know, that might be at least the start of, you know, might be at least the start of, you know, a little bit of a, you know, youth development renaissance, because, you know, God knows we've not had a great deal of it in recent years.
Be honest with this, it's not something that's going to change the landscape of our youth development, you know, in a year. This is obviously something that you're going to look at 10, 15, 20 years down the track and see the fruits of that labour. But it'll create an economy, it'll create a football economy, right, in which clubs are able to actually invest in players. Is proper, you know, fees that they can then obviously spend on in, you know, developing more players and so on and so forth. It creates, like I said, that football economy, which at the end of the day, most football economies, it's transferring money from one club to another. It's the same dollar coins. It's the same physical dollar coins just being moved around from one place to the other, but it gives the opportunity for people to, for clubs to actually invest. Which is only a good thing. So, anything that can help.
Oh, absolutely, and with the view to a second division as well, it actually, you know, properly incentivizes youth development to the point where, you know, clubs that are in, you know, potentially a national second division can just be like, okay, well, we're just going to focus on our youth system, bringing selling up our club. Youth,
yeah.
You know. You know, we're a selling club, you know, we're going to produce players, you know, for overseas or for the A-League, you know, and basically get to the point where, you know, a small club might become rich by doing that, you know, and get to a point where they might be in a second division or in the top division in the future if ProRel is introduced. So, like, you know, it just really does, there's a lot of options that it opens up.
Key part of it, I think, is professional terms, though. I think it's important to note that obviously the player might have to be under professional contract to start with, but it might encourage,
right,
I suppose, those more professional NPL clubs to be able to actually put players under that sort of structure. Even not necessarily going to be full time, might be part time professional contracts, but there would be professionals that'd be, you know, paid a wage, and obviously, again, The returns from that being reinvested from there. Speaking of player admin, Sydney FC, of course, during our period off, were fined for a breach of the under-23 rules. They didn't have enough young players on the on their team sheet for a few games. Incidentally, which they both lost, so they gained 0 points. They copped a fine, and I think they copped a few extra goals against their goal difference for the pleasure as well, because those results were turned into 3-0 losses. So, suck shit, Sydney FC. Too bad it wasn't a bigger fine or a bigger penalty, but still.
Yeah, like, once again, like, the penalty last time a team did this was for Perth, and they were making the finals, and they got, you know, removed from the finals, you know, and that's how we got in that year.
kept our streak going that year. I thought what they did there was, yep, I don't think this is something as simple as they didn't put enough under 23s. I thought there were salary cap issues with that. I thought it was much larger.
Oh, no, it was obviously a more, you know, intense breach or whatever, but it's the, you know, once again, it's very much is the perception of there's one rule for Sydney and there's one rule for another. And that's what you get when the CEO is also the CEO of Sydney FC.
I think
Like, you know,
the biggest issue is it took so long for it to be worked out. Because these games were in February. And it's something that took...
Oh, that's right. And they were only told about it by another club. Like, they didn't pick it up. Like, so they were perfectly happy to just not be punished for this at all. But another club's clearly gone,
my
no,
favorite
fuck
part
you.
Is that Sydney FC, and this release was effectively like when like the bad guy from Scooby-Doo gets the mask ripped off his face and says, I would have got away with it too if it weren't for you meddling clubs. Just... it was very much, it's not our fault, this is your fault for finding it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and just that attitude is just an encapsulation of why the whole rest of the fucking league just hates Sydney FC. You know, more than
anyone else, anyway. A little bit more admin. Brisbane Roar have signed a partnership with zero waste manufacturer Repal. As you'd expect, typical A-League, always looking to recycle. Anyway, moving on to a bit more of a rumoured... Yes, I wrote out that joke in our notes, ladies and gentlemen. Let's look behind the curtain.
Izaka Cernak is the spokesman.
Mitch Nichols is also involved in there somewhere too. Liam Reddy as well. There has been some rumours going out there. I think it was confirmed in one of the major newspapers too. We did tweet about it because one of the Leeds fan groups from Perth put something up on Twitter about it. But it appears that there may well be a replacement for the West Ham Crystal Palace series that got canned due to COVID. We now have Leeds, Aston Villa, and Brisbane playing in a bit of a tri-series of matches. I think it's Brisbane versus Leeds down the Gold Coast, Villa and Leeds at Suncorp, and Brisbane and Villa up in Townsville. Nate, presuming this is all a go, I presume you'd be pretty pumped. You'd be looking to get to as many of these games as you possibly can. And maybe at least all the Leeds games, should that all eventuate.
If this all actually does happen.
It should be noted, there's nothing official has come out. It's all been confirmed, but it's been reported, I think, through some media outlets as well as a strong possibility. So, but yeah.
It's just rumours at the moment, but if what the rumours are saying actually happens, that does happen, Jesus Christ, you use those words like tickled pink and over the moon, although... you will have to hate me though, because if these rumors are true and it does actually happen,
you're going in a half shirt, aren't
play
you?
Leeds United.
Getting your Brisbane shirt and your Leeds shirt, cutting them in half, sewing them together, half jersey for Nate.
Fuck off! I'm not some
half.
I'm not some crappy rapper who's trying to make a payday. no, I will officially that day if it does actually happen, I will officially be leaving you gents for a 24-hour period. My lords is...
So are you going to play at half-time in the half-half jersey? Is that why you're leaving us for 24 hours? Are you going to be Bruno Mars?
All I'll be doing that game is I will be 100% white in that game. That's
let's not bring race into this, mate.
Fair enough.
That's it. Yeah. Look, welcome to supporting a football club that's an English football club that calls themselves the Whites. Every time I type out our name, I feel possibly like
I did weird. feel weird retweeting a page called the Perth Whites. I thought it just feels like it's something that I shouldn't be retweeting a page of. But I know it was a Leeds thing as well. Incidentally, if anyone here listens to podcast serial show called The Offensive, they'll know that the main club in there, a fictional club called Ashford City, is nicknamed the Super Whites, and I think that's hilarious.
there is like one bit of news I can tell you on this game, the games that might be happening. I can definitely tell you that
due to legal reasons, we were advised to redact the following portion of the show.
So right. Yeah, that's pretty big news. I just told you there. So
are we allowed to say that? Like, is that something we're allowed to do?
I can't believe Marcelo.
Your redacted points are important to us. Please hold, and someone will be redacted with you shortly.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable.
To think that he's going to do that with a bucket on his head instead of sitting on it. Like, I can't believe it. Anyway, let's move on to the
and there's something else though, but the fact that Gerard will
redacted.
Yeah, just you got to be there, people. You just got to be there.
Confirm this soon because it, you know, you want to get those tickets quickly if all that's going to happen. But yeah, wow. All right, well that's the news. Yeah. Let's start wrapping this show up. Let's get onto the tipping. Give us a bit of a wrap up of where things are at now. At the moment, we've just come off obviously a few games midweek as well. We've got a few games coming up tomorrow as we record. But let's start from the bottom and work our way up to the top. Yoshiba, mate, you've cracked 70 points. Congratulations. You're still in seventh, but you cracked 70 points. Well done. So, listeners.
That was his actual goal.
Yeah. The listeners, you're on 84 points. Still well ahead of Yoshiba, but, you're running out of time to catch up with the group. Let's face it. Make the most of it, but you need to put a few efforts in here. I'm sitting in fifth. I'm starting to lose a bit of pace with the top of the table as well here, but I've still got some hope at least. Pricey on 94 points. Dan in third. He's on 96. But the top two, Ben, you're going to enjoy this. You and Rick, top of the league, 97 points a pop. Well done, gentlemen. You guys are
doing well.
In fact, Ben, just in full credit to yourself and Rick, you guys both got 5 out of the last 6 games. The only ones that you got wrong, Ben, was you tipped a draw for West United MacArthur. That was a poor mistake. And Rick tipped Newcastle over Western Sydney, which, I mean, it wasn't a terrible tip, but it was wrong ultimately in the end. So, by contrast, Yoshiba, you got 1 tip out of those same 6 games. So... let's focus on the games coming up. We've got 5 games to tip. We're going to start with Ben. It's MacArthur versus Melbourne Victory, and I want to know who you're tipping.
I am going to go with Melbourne Victory for that one, please.
Excellent choice, sir. We have Newcastle versus Central Coast on the Saturday. Now, this is obviously a derby game. It's the only game on the Saturday too, which is odd, but I'm assuming it's because we've got teams in Asia. I can't see anyone but Central Coast winning this game. Central Coast are just so good at the moment. It's I can only see them winning. Wellington versus Western Sydney in Auckland. Nate, Wellington didn't do so great in their return home back to the Cape Town, but can they do better at Eden Park? Quite South African with that, so apologies.
I think they can. I think the Phoenix will finally get a win, I think, there. So, yeah.
Nux.
Phoenix. Oh, you better get a fucking win. Don't bloody do what you've been doing.
Anyway. Yeah, assholes.
You know what I mean, Phoenix.
I'm going to tip the next one because I want to leave the next one, the last one there for Ben. Adelaide versus Perth. I'm tipping Adelaide for that one. That's a gimme in my opinion. And then finally, this one for the charity bet, Ben versus Melbourne Victory. No, on Anzac Day. Who you got, my friend? I've given you
Melbourne Victory.
Victory games. You tip Melbourne Victory in both. So, yeah, if Melbourne Victory don't get the chockies in all in both those games, this is all on you. So, just to recap, our 4 charity bet games are Friday night MacArthur Melbourne Victory game. We're backing Melbourne Victory. Central Coast in the derby against Newcastle. Wellington to defeat Western Sydney. Not the charity game is going to be Adelaide over Perth. And Melbourne Victory to defeat Brisbane on Anzac Day. Of course, we will put all the tips, all the polls up on our Twitter page, so make sure you jump on there. Ones to choose your tip. Make sure you get your tips in because we're only asking for the tip. That's all. Just the tip. You got a bit of a chance to catch up with me if you tip right or put the tip in right. I'm going bad with these fucking double entendres. But that's okay. It's okay. It's what we're here for. We can always just have it redacted. That's it for this show, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, you can catch us on all sorts of socials. We're on facebook.com/TheRawcast, at The Rawcast on Twitter. As I said, where all of our polls are located. anchor.fm/TheRawcast is where we put all our shows. We can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and any other good or bad or terrible podcasting platforms. I'm sure we're on things that we don't even know that we're on, probably including, you know, platforms like
Redacted.
So Ben, thank you very much for your attendance on this episode, good sir.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and I'd just really like to make a special tribute to
your Yoshiba photocopier has redacted this portion due to shit toner quality.
Yeah, who I really appreciate,
Nate. Thank you very much, good sir.
Thank you very much. And I just want to send to Pricey a massive big...
This has been redacted.
But you can't say that.
That's for you, good sir.
That's the most horrible thing I've ever heard anyone say. Why? I don't know if we can have you on the show again, Nate.
Worse than Bang Bang?
That's it from us, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening, and we shall see you next week. Bye.
Love you.
We're all fucking redacted.